Today is Friday, January 30th, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump administration threatens new war against Iran. By Andre Damon. The Trump administration is preparing to launch a new and catastrophic war against Iran. A massive armada is heading to Iran, Trump declared Wednesday on Truth Social. Like with Venezuela, it is ready, willing, and able to rapidly fulfill its mission, with speed and violence, if necessary. Citing the June 2025 US-Israeli bombing campaign that killed over 1,000 Iranians, he threatened, in the language of a mafia boss, the next attack will be far worse. The deployment of a massive armada to the Persian Gulf, combined with these public threats, makes clear that the course has already been set toward major military action. The scale of the build-up is immense. The aircraft carrier, USS Abraham Lincoln, accompanied by three guided missile destroyers, entered Middle Eastern waters this week after transiting from the South China Sea. The US now has 40,000 troops in the region, five air wings across five countries, F-35 and F-18 fighter jets, Tomahawk missiles, and additional THAAD and Patriot air defense systems. Two destroyers have been positioned near the Strait of Hormuz. On Thursday evening, The New York Times published an article co-authored by five of the most prominent reporters covering the White House, Pentagon, and foreign policy establishment, outlining Trump's new military operations against Iran. The Times, speaking for the Democratic Party, is actively involved in legitimizing and preparing public opinion for a criminal act of aggression. The article reviews in detail an expanded list of military options presented to Trump, including American forces carrying raids on sites inside Iran and airstrikes against nuclear and missile infrastructure. Among the options, the Times writes, is for a series of strikes that would cause such turmoil that it could create the conditions on the ground for Iranian security forces or other forces to remove the 86-year-old Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. What this removal would involve, and who the other forces might be, the Times does not say, but the language is clearly intended as a threat of assassination by US or Israeli forces. The authors write that Trump's posture toward Iran follows a similar approach to Venezuela, where the United States amassed forces just off the coast for months as part of a pressure campaign to oust Nicolas Maduro. When this failed, they write, US forces attacked the country and captured him. He and his wife are now being held for trial in a federal detention center in Brooklyn. To avoid military attack, the Trump administration is demanding that Iran give up civilian nuclear technology that it is legally entitled to possess, hand over all of its uranium to the United States, abandon its regional allies, and eliminate ballistic missiles capable of reaching Israel, ensuring that Israel can attack at will without fear of retaliation. Under conditions in which decades of sanctions have already devastated the Iranian economy, acceptance of these terms would reduce Iran to a vassal state of the United States. These demands recall those made by Austria-Hungary on Serbia in July 1914, ahead of the outbreak of World War I, crafted not to be accepted, but to serve as pretext for a war already decided upon. The socialist evaluation of this war is not determined by the Iranian government's policies, however repressive they are, but by the historic character of both countries. The United States is the most powerful, imperialist country in the world. Iran is a historically oppressed nation, subjected to a US-sponsored coup in 1953 that installed a tyrannical regime and decades of punishing economic sanctions and military threats. This is an imperialist war against a former colonial country, the purpose of which is to enslave the Iranian people. American imperialism has sought for decades to topple the bourgeois clerical regime in Tehran, as part of the broader project of constructing a new Middle East under US hegemony. The present military escalation is a continuation of the destruction of Iraq, the war in Syria, and the US-backed Israeli genocide of the Palestinians in Gaza. Over the past 16 months, Israel has killed more than 50,000 Palestinians in Gaza. It has also bombarded Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Houthis in Yemen, all designed to weaken Iran. Israel is now poised to directly join any US attack on Iran. The protests in Iran caused by US-led sanctions have been seized upon by Washington and its allies as justification for regime change, while they cynically promote the Shah's son, US-based Reza Pahlavi, as the potential leader of a new Iran. Claims that 30,000 protesters were killed have been promoted by Western governments and media, despite the highly dubious sourcing of these figures. The same imperialist powers denouncing Iran for its crackdown are allied with Saudi Arabia, which beheads political dissidents, and Israel, which has carried out a genocide in Gaza. The hypocrisy is obvious. For its part, the bourgeois clerical regime in Tehran, hostile to the democratic and social aspirations of the impoverished mass of the population, still hopes to strike a deal with imperialism to regain access to the capitalist world market and global investment. The brutal eruption of US imperialist violence is driven by an effort to resolve an escalating economic crisis and maintain its global hegemony through military force. Over the past year, the value of the dollar has plunged by 10%. The price of gold, a hedge against the dollar, has surged above $5,500 per ounce, up nearly $700 in a single week. The US federal debt stands at $38.4 trillion and is growing by $8 billion per day. All three major credit rating agencies have downgraded US sovereign debt, and Deutsche Bank has warned of a crisis of confidence in the US currency. Iran possesses the world's third largest proven oil reserves and second largest natural gas reserves. As with Venezuela, it supplies 90% of its oil exports to China, making it a critical source of energy for Washington's chief rival. Iran controls the Strait of Hormuz, through which 20% of the world's oil passes daily. US control of Iran would give Washington a stranglehold over the energy supplies of China, India, Japan, and Europe. Greenland, which Trump is demanding be handed over by Denmark, and its autonomous government, contains rare earth minerals, essential to Chinese industry. The ultimate target is China itself, and Russia, which in the face of the US-NATO-instigated war over Ukraine, has expanded its military strategic ties with Tehran. A new war would not remain confined to Iran. It would engulf the entire Middle East. Iran could respond by shutting down the Strait of Hormuz, triggering a global economic crisis. How would China respond to such an act of aggression, which is clearly directed at it as well? To advance its predatory global agenda, American imperialism is setting the region ablaze and potentially igniting a global conflagration. Beyond the deepening economic crisis, the Trump administration is confronting a growing social and political crisis at home. It faces mass opposition to its efforts to establish a police state in the United States. Millions have been shocked and galvanized into political action by the killings of Renee Good on January 7th and Alex Pretti on January 24th in Minneapolis. The administration sees yet another war as a way out of these mounting crises. It intends to use war not only to pursue its imperialist aims abroad, but also as a pretext for intensifying repression at home, branding Trump's domestic political opponents as terrorists. Over the past week, the Democratic Party has intensified its efforts to suppress opposition to Trump's developing dictatorship and reach a political accommodation with the White House. On Thursday, the House and Senate passed bipartisan legislation to avert a government shutdown, which includes the extension of funding for the Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, the agency overseeing ICE and CBP operations, for 2 more weeks. The deal also greenlights the continuation of military operations, including those directed at Iran. The Democrats' central concern is to preserve stability at home as the United States prepares to launch a new imperialist war. The entire political establishment supports American imperialism and its war aims. The working class cannot rely on the United Nations, international courts, or any institution of the capitalist state to defend its interests. The only viable basis for opposing war is the independent mobilization of workers in every country against the capitalist system and the financial oligarchy that it serves. The struggle against war must be inseparably connected to the fight to defend democratic rights, jobs and living standards. The same administration preparing a criminal war abroad is carrying out mass arrests at home, gutting social programs and overseeing mass layoffs. War, dictatorship, austerity and repression are all expressions of the response of the financial oligarchy to the deepening crisis of capitalism. A war against Iran would be a crime, not only against the Iranian people, but also against the American working class. The fight against imperialist war must be advanced through the mobilization of workers in every country, in a common struggle to overthrow the capitalist system and establish socialism on a world scale. Democrats reach deal with White House to keep immigration Gestapo funded. By Jacob Cross. On Thursday, Senate Democrats reached a deal with the Trump White House to extend funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which includes Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, for 2 weeks as the two parties haggle over cosmetic changes to federal immigration policy that will do nothing to abolish the agencies or end their illegal and murderous operations. The agreement underscores that the Democratic Party will do nothing to stop the growth of the immigration Gestapo or oppose the Trump administration in any meaningful sense of the word. In addition to ensuring funding for the same agencies responsible for the murders of Renee Nicole Good and Alex F. Pretty, the deal clears the way for the passage of 5 other major 2026 spending bills, including funding for the Department of Defense, Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, and the State Department. Crucially, the bill funds the Department of Defense through September 30th. This is under conditions in which the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier is streaming toward Iran less than 4 weeks after the US military illegally kidnapped Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro and his wife. The Democrats, a party of Wall Street and war, will do nothing to stop Trump's attacks on workers in America or anywhere else, because they represent the same class interests as Trump and the Republicans. The current proposal strips the existing DHS funding bill, which 7 Democrats in the House voted in support of last week, and replaces it with a continuing resolution that will keep ICE and CBP funded and functioning under their current budgets for the immediate future. A temporary shutdown is still likely, as the House will have to return and vote, but the chamber is currently in recess until Monday. Trump hailed the agreement on his social media account Thursday, writing that he was working hard with Congress to ensure that we are able to fully fund the government without delay. Republicans and Democrats in Congress have come together to get the vast majority of the government funded until September, while at the same time providing an extension to the Department of Homeland Security, including the very important Coast Guard, which we are expanding and rebuilding like never before. The fascist in the White House said he hoped both Republicans and Democrats will give a very much needed bipartisan yes vote. Asked Thursday evening by a reporter at a Washington, D.C. screening for the Amazon-funded Melania film if he was considering scaling back immigration operations in Minnesota, Trump replied, "No, no, not at all." Under conditions in which a majority of self-identified Democrats and a plurality of independents support abolishing ICE, The short-term deal agreed to by the Democrats does not abolish or defund ICE or CBP. Senate Democrats are instead proposing a number of meaningless guardrails that will do nothing to end their criminal operations. Proposals floated by Democrats include wearing body cameras and unmasking requirements. Prior to the murder of Pretty last Saturday, Democrats in the Senate were not planning even token opposition to funding DHS. However, the mass protest in Minnesota last Friday, and growing momentum for a nationwide general strike to abolish the immigration police and bring the murderers to justice, has forced the Democrats to posture as opponents of the immigration police. Democrats, along with the corporate media, are promoting the fiction that the sidelining of Border Patrol Commander-at-Large Gregory Bovino and the elevation of Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, represented a change in policy and lessened the danger of dictatorship. Nothing could be further from the truth. In an interview with Tim Miller of The Bulwark on January 27th, Walls said, "My hope is with Tom Homan is different from Greg Bovino, and these, you know, these folks on the streets that are just amateurs, that he is a true, you know, law enforcement professional." The law enforcement professional Walls speaks of is the same person who was recorded in September 2024 accepting a $50,000 bribe from undercover FBI agents in exchange for promising to help secure future government contracts. Walls presented the federal occupation of Minneapolis as simply a bad immigration policy choice, in the process downplaying and obscuring the dictatorial character of the occupation, which is aimed at establishing a presidential dictatorship. The attacks on immigrants are simply the spearhead for a broader campaign aimed at eliminating the democratic rights of all who oppose this government of, by, and for the financial oligarchy. Promising further cooperation with the immigration police, Walls said, "My guess is that Tom Homan understands if you really want to enforce immigration, if you really want to get the worst of the worst, you coordinate with local folks, you coordinate with our BCA, and you pick these people up when they are not suspecting it, in the middle of the night where no shots are fired. You heard the police chief say that we've taken 900 guns off the streets in Minneapolis last year and didn't fire a single shot. Same thing with my state troopers." "I think this is an opportunity," Walls concluded. 48 hours later, in a Thursday morning press conference carried by all the major networks, Homan made clear that he and the administration blamed protesters for their own deaths and that thousands of federal immigration agents will continue to operate in the state for the foreseeable future. "I'm staying until the problem is gone, but we have made a lot of progress," Homan declared. In between calls to tone down the rhetoric, Homan repeatedly dehumanized immigrants as criminal illegal aliens and blamed agitators for their own deaths. He said the CBP and ICE thugs are American patriots, mothers and fathers, and God bless every one of them. At the same time, he called for hostile rhetoric and dangerous threats and hate to stop. "I begged for the last 2 months on TV for the rhetoric to stop. I said in March that the rhetoric did not stop, there was going to be bloodshed. And there has been. I wish I wasn't right. I don't want to see anybody die. Not officers, not members of the community," he said, before adding threateningly, "They are not the targets of our operations." Using language US government officials typically reserve for foreign war zones, Homan referred to agents being exhausted from being in theatre for months at a time. He said agents needed to rotate out of theatre after conducting months of kidnapping operations. Underscoring the cooperation between the Trump administration and Minnesota Democrats, Homan added that he met with Governor Tim Walz, Attorney General Keith Ellison, Mayor Jacob Frey, numerous police chiefs and sheriffs, and what everybody agreed on is that public safety is paramount. One thing we all agreed on was U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is a legitimate law enforcement agency that has a duty to enforce the laws enacted by Congress to keep this community safe, he said. Homan revealed that he came to an agreement with Democrats to turn over immigrants currently incarcerated in jails. I am also pleased to announce I had a very good meeting with Attorney General Ellison, and he has clarified for me that county jails may notify ICE of the release dates of criminal public safety risks, so ICE can take custody of them upon their release from the jail. Stop ICE murders and dictatorship. Build a rank-and-file movement of the working class for a general strike. By the Socialist Equality Party, US. The following statement will be distributed at protests organised as part of a National Day of Action on January 30th, 2026. Across Minnesota and throughout the United States, anger and outrage are growing over the ICE murders of Alex Pretti and Renee Nicole Good, the mass roundup of immigrants, the paramilitary occupation of American cities, and the conspiracy by the Trump administration to establish a presidential dictatorship. Last week's massive demonstration of tens of thousands in Minnesota and the popular outrage over the murder of Pretty have shocked the political establishment, both Republicans and Democratic. But the so-called tactical retreat by Trump is a maneuver. The danger of dictatorship has not receded. Rather, it is intensifying. The Trump government operates as a criminal conspiracy against the democratic rights of the people. In justifying ICE murder, the Trump regime has declared the state's unlimited right to kill. Vice President J.D. Vance has stated this explicitly after Good's killing, saying that the agent who shot her was protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job. The principles invoked by Vance derive from the jurisprudence of fascism. The drive to dictatorship is inseparable from the staggering levels of social inequality in the United States. Trump speaks and acts as the political representative of the capitalist oligarchy, which, faced with growing economic, social, and political crises, is abandoning all democratic norms to maintain its wealth and power. While working people struggle with skyrocketing housing costs, mass layoffs, and collapsing public health systems, America's billionaires gained $1.5 trillion in Trump's first year back in office, an astonishing 22% increase, lifting their combined wealth to $8.2 trillion. ICE's operations are one element of this war on society, aimed at terrorizing the population and suppressing resistance to exploitation and the destruction of basic social rights. The oligarchy is not only defending its wealth through dictatorship, it is enriching itself through the machinery of repression. The Trump administration's immigration crackdown has created a multi-billion dollar windfall for major corporations, which now profit directly from ICE's reign of terror. In the past year alone, companies like Palantir, Deloitte, Amazon, and Microsoft have received over $22 billion in contracts with ICE and CBP as it terrorizes the population. At the same time, the Trump administration is responding to a deepening domestic crisis and mounting political opposition by escalating its criminal actions abroad. This week, Trump threatened war against Iran if it did not accept a list of US ultimatums, declaring he was prepared to strike with speed and violence. These threats follow the illegal invasion of Venezuela and kidnapping of President Nicolas Maduro on January 3rd. The escalation of war is not only aimed at asserting US imperialist interests abroad, including preparing for a conflict with China, but will be used to justify the criminalization of dissent at home. Under these conditions, the Democrats and the media talking heads who are presenting the tactical maneuvering of the Trump administration as a major shift are peddling complacency and lies. Minnesota Governor Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Frey are hailing their productive phone calls with Trump as the administration is overseeing ongoing raids in Minneapolis, assaulting protests in Texas against the roundup of children, and drawing up databases of protesters. The fascist attack on Ilhan Omar on Tuesday, justified and inspired by Trump, was followed by an FBI raid on an election office in Georgia on Wednesday, part of the Trump regime's efforts to undermine the 2026 elections. On Thursday, Senate Democrats reached a deal with Trump to keep the government funded. The agreement includes full-year funding for most agencies and a separate continuing resolution to keep the Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, operating for at least 2 more weeks while negotiations continue over meaningless guardrails. In plain terms, the Democrats have agreed to keep ICE funded and operational while they work out a deal with the fascist president. At the same time, they voted for a military spending bill that places no limits on Trump's war-making powers. The Democrats are co-conspirators, not opponents, in the campaign of terror at home and aggression abroad. In the final analysis, the Democrats stand with Trump in defense of the capitalist system and the wealth of the oligarchs. Their greatest fear is not a military police dictatorship, but a working class movement that escapes their control and threatens the existing concentration of wealth and the organization of society on a capitalist foundation. There is immense and growing opposition to the Trump administration's fascistic agenda. But this movement must be armed with a political perspective, a strategy for victory, and new forms of organization rooted in the power of the working class. It is enormously significant that the demand for a general strike is emerging, not from union leaders, Democratic politicians, or any section of the official establishment, but from below. Workers, students, and progressive layers of the middle class are drawing the critical conclusion that protest alone is not enough, and that only the mass coordinated action spearheaded by the working class can defeat the Trump regime and halt the escalating campaign of state violence. However, neither January 23rd nor January 30th constitute a general strike. A general strike is not a consumer boycott or a one-day protest. It is the organized shutdown of production by the working class. The trade union apparatus is doing everything it can to block this from happening. While some state and local unions have endorsed protests, they have insisted that workers remain on the job, citing no-strike clauses in contracts that they themselves negotiated. Alex Pretty was not only an ICU nurse, but a member of AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees, Local 3669. The union apparatus, however, while issuing empty statements of regret, is proposing no-strike action or doing anything to mobilize their members in collective action. The United Auto Workers released a brief declaration acknowledging Pretty's union affiliation, while stating that the labor movement must not be silent. It proposed no action by the 400,000 active members of the UAW. The political function of the well-paid operatives that staff the union apparatus is to maintain the domination of the Democratic Party over the working class and to preempt any development of an independent movement from below. The Socialist Equality Party proposes the organisation of a nationwide general strike with the following demands: the removal of ICE agents from Minneapolis and all cities, the disbanding of the organisation, and the criminal prosecution of its officials and all agents responsible for murder and other acts of violence, the immediate end of the vicious persecution of immigrants living in the United States, the immediate release from detention of all immigrants who have been swept up in the ICE dragnet, the resignation and prosecution of all members of the Trump administration responsible for the violation of rights guaranteed by the US Constitution. To fight for these demands, the SEP calls for the building of rank-and-file committees in every factory, depot, warehouse, office, school, and hospital. Workers should hold emergency meetings, elect delegates, draw up demands, and link together across industries and regions. These committees must coordinate mass action, defend those under attack, and lay the foundations for a general strike, that is, the complete shutdown of economic activity. This cannot be limited to Minneapolis. Trump's conspiracy for dictatorship is national, and the response of the working class must extend across the entire country. Opposition to dictatorship must be connected to the growing movement of the working class against inequality and exploitation. More than 46,000 nurses are on strike across New York City, California, and Hawaii in opposition to intolerable conditions and the subordination of healthcare to corporate profit. At the same time, the national contract covering 30,000 oil refinery workers, who are responsible for two-thirds of the country's refining capacity, is set to expire on Sunday, February 1st. The SCP and the International Committee of the Fourth International initiated the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, the IWA-RFC, to provide the structure and leadership, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. The IWA-RFC fights to connect opposition to fascism and dictatorship with the struggle of the working class against war, job cuts, inflation, and social misery. A general strike, however, is not a panacea. If its aim is merely to pressure the Trump administration or appeal to sections of the state, it will end in defeat. The central issue is not how to influence the existing institutions, but who holds power and in whose interests society is organized. The Socialist Equality Party is fighting to build a revolutionary leadership in the working class. The fight against the Trump dictatorship is the fight against the oligarchy, and the fight against the oligarchy is the fight against capitalism. The SCP is the US section of the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, which is leading a global movement to unite workers across all countries in a common fight to overthrow capitalism and to establish workers' power and socialism. We also call on students and young people to join the fight against dictatorship. There have already been walkouts at hundreds of schools and college campuses, which should be expanded. The International Youth and Students for Social Equality, the IYSC, the Student and Youth Movement of the SEP, urges students to go to the factories and warehouses, build a unified movement of students and workers against repression, inequality and war. To stop the march to authoritarian rule, repression and war, the working class must intervene as an independent political force. This requires the development of a mass socialist movement rooted in the fight for equality and the democratic control of society by the vast majority. The struggle we face is not only against a criminal government, but against the capitalist system that gave rise to it. For these articles, and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.